For 2 days, Barrio Alegria were visiting the Sanctuary for Independent Media. And joining me now is...
Anthony Orozco.
Wonderful. Welcome to Hudson Mohawk Magazine.
Thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
So what brings Barrio Alegria to North Troy?
Barrio Alegria is a community engagement organization that really utilizes storytelling. And we've heard the lore about the Sanctuary for Independent Media and really just want to know how we can be a little bit more like you guys and empower people by amplifying their voices and their stories.
And where are you based?
We're based in Reading, Pennsylvania, which is about an hour away from Philadelphia.
And how do the places compare?
Philadelphia is, you know, a proper city, proper metropolitan area. Reading, being about an hour away, is far removed from the suburbs, the collar counties of Philly, and is a city in the middle of Penny Dutch country. Also, Pennsylvania has an archipelago of these Latino majority cities that find themselves based in Pennsylvania Dutch country.
So storytelling, that can be so many things. I heard about financial literacy and inherited trauma around money. Mm-hmm. We were also talking about grants to different organizations. Could you give us a little bit of an overview of the different ways that your organization distributes into the community and works in storytelling?
Yeah, we do a couple of things. One is our community building, which works in the financial realm of attacking or looking at, examining, analyzing people's emotional connection to money, you know, their first memories of money. Did you know as a child what day payday was? Some people did not have to worry about that. Some of us knew very well when our parents were getting paid. So there is, you know, a whole labyrinth of emotions and experiences that tie people to money. And so as part of our financial literacy course, we have people looking at that, examining that, trying to understand where they are in terms of their connection with money. And then we have other things like leadership development, where we try to identify people who want to make a positive change in their community and maybe don't know how, but they have that heart. And you can train somebody to be an actor in the community who does something, but you can't instill heart in people. And so we identify people who have that barrio DNA and then give them the skills to become leaders. And then in creative placemaking, placekeeping, we tell stories that are culturally competent to our people, things that they recognize, understand, live with, struggle with, their triumphs and their trials. So that is done through annual performances that we do, dramas, plays, poetry, and all sorts of art forms.
Maybe not everybody is familiar with the term placemaking or creative placemaking. How would you describe that?
Creative placemaking for me, you know, you talk to people in organizations who utilize creative placemaking or placekeeping, and you'll hear different definitions from different people. Mm-hmm. But for me, it's claiming ownership, staking, claiming, like really planting your flag in the ground and saying, you know what, we're going to occupy this space. We're going to hold this space. We're going to protect this space. We've identified locations in the city of Reading that are underloved and usually come with negative perceptions or connotations of these areas. We go in there, we transform them. I mean, really, our entire mission revolves around transformation, individual places and perceptions. So we have planted our flags in these places. So we go there, we show up, we make them beautiful. We make them portals for beauty, light, elegance, and excellence is what I like to say. But now we are in place keeping where we keep showing up. It's very easy. We see a million of these things pop up and die off. I mean, that's a symptom maybe for many Rust Belt cities, is that you see passionate people say, we want to do something. And then they have a performance or they have a series of workshops. And then it sort of falls apart and disintegrates. But Barrio is committed to keeping its promises. And our promises are to reflect the beauty and opportunity and potential in our people and our places. So it's returning to these places, making sure that they're not underloved, that they're properly loved, cared for, and that we bring something that will probably change the perception of those places.
Barrio Alegría has been around for how long?
8 years.
So over those 8 years, how have you seen the transformation around?
Oh my gosh. Well, transformation from Barrio itself started as a dance troupe. And then it started out as
a different type of storytelling with the body and movements.
Exactly. And we actually, our annual performance that I talked about, that I mentioned earlier, is called Storytelling Through Dance. So mm-hmm. using all sorts of art forms to tell our stories. But yeah, it started as a salsa, like dance club thing. And then it turned into more art forms. And it was like a patchwork of photography, poetry nights, and then dance. And now it has become a whole other animal where we have very focused pillars that are trying to empower people.
We think of storytelling, we think of verbal, written, but through dancing and arts-based creative storytelling avenues, how do you see it sitting with people differently and maybe gravitating different folks?
Well, just like our group, you know, some people don't speak English super fluently. Some of us don't speak Spanish super fluently. I mean, our name, Barrio Alegría. There's tons of people listening to this who won't know what that means. It means neighborhood of happiness. But we in Reading face a lot of language barriers. Art is a universal language that we all speak with in our hearts and in our souls. And so through art, we don't need correct pronunciation or the right vocabulary word. It's addressing sort of these underlying currents that rest right below our conscious. And when we connect with that, I think we connect with the common human spirit that doesn't need all the things that we've learned. It connects to the ether, you know, the ether cord of existence. It speaks to something deeper, that you don't need language. You don't need things written out. All you need is to feel something. So we see our gravitational pull bring in all sorts of people from all sorts of different walks of life and income and experiences, because they can connect on that deeper level.
We're recording this about at the end of the first of 2 days here at the Sanctuary campus. What has some of your group been noticing about the Sanctuary in North Troy, maybe in relationship to Reading and Barrio Alegría? What are some observations?
Oh man, my eyes are hungry. I'm eating everything up while I'm here. A lot of similarities, as I mentioned earlier, about, you know, Rust Belt cities, post-industrial, you know, trying to find its identity, up and coming, you know, that sort of feeling of not wanting to be identified as a small town. And then really, what I've been impressed with the Sanctuary is the utilization and liberation of spaces, of underloved spaces, of these abandoned homes and, you know, things that you have transformed in a very real way, not just in feeling or how people perceive it, but very tangibly changing things to provide resources for people. That's really exciting for me, and I think is in future chapters for Barrio.
So after your group does a site visit, you see what other people are doing. What tangibly comes out of a visit?
Oh man, so in these learning exchanges, for us, we go back, we debrief. Debriefing is real big for us, to make sure that we have digested or take viewpoints, that we mix each other's opinions and ideas and come out with something, like you said, something that we can use. What can we use? So I think some of the information that you've already shared with us about training volunteers, utilizing volunteers, creating community, and land banking, that's something that I've already taken away and that I'm like filed away in my notes to research more, because we're always looking for ways to lift up our people, and there's so many different ways to do it, and entrusting them is a big part of it, but not just entrusting them blindly and letting them fail on their own. Never will we do that. I really, really love that you guys give them some training, give them a foundation, give them feedback, and build them up instead of just say, all right, you're on your own. See you later. Good luck with your story. No, it's if you want leaders in your community, You have to find them and build them.
This has been super fun. I'm really looking forward to tomorrow. You'll be out in the garden. So thank you so much, Anthony, for joining me today on Hudson Mohawk Magazine.
Thank you for having me. I appreciate it.